Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are on live with Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. I am so incredibly grateful that you have chosen to spend your Thursday afternoon with Sherry and I today as we talk more about the tapestry of adoption. I am the Walk Your Talk coach, and for those of you tuning in for the first time that don't know a lot about who I am or what I do, I'm just going to go ahead and take a quick moment and share with you a little bit about me. I am a certified professional coach, and I have a little bit of a specialization in working with adoptees and their families. My heart is to really help adoptees and their families learn to build bridges and not walls with each other. I've developed an heirloom coaching process, and it really helps families to discover the missing thread in the tapestries of their adoption and within the context of their stories. And together, as a coach and a family, we can discover all the missing threads in your tapestry of adoption. We can weave it back together and create a new family of legacy and love for many generations. I am the CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching at The Adoptee's Voice, and I just really love to empower adoptees, women in general, and just everybody that I am privileged to walk this great earth with to really embrace and connect with the stories in their lives and in their relationships. So I am kind of known as a legacy expert in my neck of the woods. And I love that whole word of legacy. You know, there's a lot of different legacies that we can choose to leave on this earth once we pass. And I really help people to connect with their values, decide the legacy they want to live and leave for their families and for their friends that they're connected with. And I am super excited. I am joined by a lovely woman who I have admired for years. And if any of you have seen my Facebook post, I have posted a picture of four of her books that I have really enjoyed reading, sharing with friends, and learning from. My guest today is Sherry Eldridge. Sherry believes that being adopted equates into a life of mysteries, just waiting to be discovered. A twice reunited adoptee, Sherry is a straight-shooting, transparent, and compassionate author, speaker, and trainer in the field of adoption. Her books are research-based, yet woven within are poignant messages pounded out the anvil of her adoptee heart. This is what makes Eldridge really unique. And, you know, when I am sitting here and I'm reading over her bio and thinking of her life and the books that she has authored, she just definitely resonates with me, and I love how she's a straight shooter, transparent, and compassionate. And, you know, that's my intention for this program today, listeners, is that we are just extremely transparent with you, and I want to just kind of invite you to join Sherry and I as we share a real intimate time together as fellow adoptees and share that time with you. So because Sherry's books hit the core needs, readers review her work, sometimes with anger or thanksgiving. She takes it all in stride, knowing that many critics return with thanks. One adoptive parent said that she had a beautiful heart because she had the courage to tell him what his daughter might experience. Her first book, 20 Things Adoptive Parents Need to Succeed, is required reading by many adoption agencies and universities. She's also authored four other books and done free adoption workbooks and different seminars throughout the years. And so we are very grateful to have Sherry with us. Listeners, you are very honored to be in her presence today as well as I am. So welcome, Sherry, and thank you for joining me on air today.
Thank you, Leanne. What a gracious introduction. I'm so thrilled to be here with all you guys.
Well, great, and we are thrilled to have you here. And I do, Sherry, have my collection of your books right in front of me, and I do hold them. I'm sitting here looking at them now in my studio, and really am so blessed by your heart, your transparency, and your willingness to share your story with the world. And, you know, when you and I were chatting prior to this live radio program, we had talked about such a time as this. We had talked about how there are many different voices surrounding the tapestry of adoption. And a lot of those voices, there it does bring up a lot of emotion for people.
Yes.
And this is Adoption Awareness Month. This is November. We are coming toward the end of it. And truly out there, there are a lot of, like I was saying, emotions that are floating around, circling this month. A lot of people struggle with different pains and hurts. A lot of people can't wait for November to get over with. A lot of people celebrate November, and they celebrate their gotcha days. They celebrate all of the beautiful stories surrounding the child they've welcomed into their home. There's pain in the fact that with each child that's welcomed into a home, there was a family that had to experience a loss in order for that to happen. So there really is. There's a lot of emotion around this. And so, Sherry, share with us, if you would, what comes up for you this month?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess what comes up for me is just thankfulness, because I have, I'm 68 years old, and I look back on my life as an adopted person, and I never cease to be amazed at the journey, because I'm always learning new things and always discovering new and wonderful things. Some of them aren't real fun, you know, like you said, there's pain involved in the journey, but there isn't every person's journey. But I'm learning to just appreciate, I guess, God's sovereign hand in bringing people to me or taking them away or whatever, and just to kind of settle down into my own skin and feel comfortable in who I am and how he has made me, and, you know, just trust him more than I have in the years prior to this, knowing he's going to bring good out of whatever years I have left here. Well, that's
beautiful.
Pretty deep. Sorry,
I
got really deep there.
Sherry, I love that, and please never apologize. You know, one of my goals on my radio program as the Walk Your Talk coach is to really allow each one of my guests, no matter where they are in the spectrum, to be able to share their heart, share their voice without apology. Because I think it's really important, and within the tapestry of adoption, as well as in the tapestry of all of our lives, whether we have been touched by the heart of adoption or not, we all have pains. We all have victories. And we're all, if we desire to, are on that discovery, right? That journey of discovery into who we really are, what really makes us tick, what do we really believe, and why do we believe what we believe? And so, please, no apologies for anything, because I, you know, like I said, very privileged, and that is my vision and my intention and why I do the radio show that I do, because I truly believe we all have a voice that needs to be heard, and oftentimes there have been different instances in our lives that our voices have been taken away, or we do have to, we feel that we have to apologize for our feelings or what we say. And but not on my show.
Okay.
Not on my show, not in my world. And I'm really privileged to share that sacred space with you and to, you know, get a peek into your heart, Sherry. And what I love about what you just shared is your heart is showing. You know, we can't see each other right now. We are connected via radio waves. But I could see your heart showing in the statements that you just shared. And what I love about it is the integrity that was in your voice. I see it running through all four books that I have right in front of me right now as well. And I see definitely a level of integrity and honesty and transparency that I truly appreciate.
And
thank you.
So this is going to be you're welcome. This is going to be a great show, and listeners, you are in for a treat, as I am, as Sherry and I continue to share this journey. I do want to take a brief moment before we go any further and share with our listeners a call-in number. If you would have a desire at all to chat with Sherry or myself, Leanne, the Walk Your Talk coach, you absolutely can call in. And the number to call in is 646-716-9397, and we would be happy to take your call. We ask that you would show us the same dignity that we are showing you here, and we do honor you if you would like to call in. So, Sherry, both of us, I am under the understanding that both of us are reunited adoptees.
Yes.
And, and so when we share that, listeners, we're talking about the fact that we have reunited with our first families at some degree, whether it be our first moms, our first dads, or first siblings. And both Sherry and I have had the privilege of a reunification process, and we celebrate that, and it comes with all kinds of different emotions and different challenges and different victories. And Sherry, I would love to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on the biggest question that has been coming up as I've been reading and studying and really engaging with adoptees and their families and first families about this whole idea on reunification and whether or not it's even okay to search for them.
Sure, I would love to share what I've learned. I think it's a huge topic for us as adoptees, at least for most of us. I can't say everybody, but it's huge because, first of all, we have to learn that it's okay, you know, to think about our birth families. And I'm speaking as somebody from a closed adoption system, and I know that things are very different now for those that are in an open adoption system. You know, those kids that grow up with pictures of their birth parents on their dresser, or have dates with their birth parents, or, you know, Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever together, that's wonderful. But for me, I had to give myself permission, and also had to give myself permission to search for them. And I remember the struggle inside of myself because I felt so loyal to my adoptive parents. In fact, I was so loyal that I waited till both of them were deceased. But I remember sitting in church one day, and the preacher was talking about Ecclesiastes 3, and it says, there's a time to search and a time to give up is lost. And that was all I needed. I mean, it seems like every time, Leanne, that I've had a really seemingly irresolvable, is that a word, or unresolvable question, God always gives me something from Scripture that just settles my mind. So I felt good about giving myself permission to search. And so I think that's a big deal for a lot of adoptees. And, you know, we all awaken at different times. I have a friend who's in his 70s, and he was one of those who said, I have no need to search. He has a terminal illness now, and his kids all want him to search, and now he's searching. So there are a lot of us who are searching, and we need to give ourselves permission. So that's the first step.
Beautiful. I love that. And so what did it take for you, Sherry, to actually give yourself permission? I love that beautiful Ecclesiastes 3 verse that you shared. But what else was going on for you inside of your heart? You had spoke about that loyalty and kind of feeling that. And what I'm hearing from you is maybe a little bit of like this divided loyalty going on. And was there some truth to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved my parents, and I was so grateful to them, I didn't have a home. I didn't have anybody there. I was abandoned by my birth mother, and people will say, well, you weren't abandoned. I was abandoned. Some women do abandon their children. Some women are not fit to be a mother, and that's the kind of mother I had. I was named Baby X and, you know, put in an incubator and never had any contact with her until later in life. And yet people don't understand that even though you've been abandoned or abused by a parent, there's still deep within our bones that loyalty to them, that desire to meet them. So that was in my bones when I was born. And there was also loyalty to my mom and dad, who gave me love and a home and nurturing. And, you know, I didn't want to disappoint them. I wanted to be the daughter that they had longed for. And so I grew up as an only child in their home. So, there, you know, even at birth, even though I couldn't have explained it then as a baby, there was that loyalty going on between my birth family and my adoptive family.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
It totally does. And as I was listening to you share and, you know, hearing your story about being abandoned, being Baby X, right, in the incubator,
mm-hmm.
and kind of left there, and, you know, that mixed loyalty is super understandable that you would have that, right? Because I loved what you said about it's just within my bones. It was just part of your DNA. It's part of your makeup. It's who you are. And super understandable that you would feel loyalty to both sets of parents, even though, you know, maybe the first situation wasn't that always, you know, you kind of thought it would be, but it's still there.
Exactly.
Right? No, so that, makes perfect sense.
Well, when I later, you know, 20 years ago, I did meet my birth mother, and it was not a successful reunion. My husband and I flew out to Idaho to meet her, and, you know, to make a long story short, what started as a fairy tale reunion ended in a very cruel rejection from her. And, you know, I tried to reconcile with her, and she would have no part of it. So that was one reunion experience, but it was very painful. But at the same time, like I said earlier, you know, God always has met me there are no questions, no answers, or no understanding of why is this happening. He met me, and at that very place, and she was saying these cruel words to me, the words of Isaiah 49:15-16 came to mind. And they go something like this: can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Yes, she may, Sherry, but I, Jesus is speaking, God is speaking, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your life, Sherry, your walls are always before me. And I knew at that moment, Leanne, that Jesus was inside me, around me, under me, you know, and deeper than any life rejection I could experience. And it was pivotal for me. And frankly, I would rather have Jesus than have an Oprah reunion where everything was ooey-gooey, everything goes wonderful, because he took me deeper. And out of that came this whole speaking ministry and writing ministry. I never sought to write a book. I'm not a writer. I didn't do good in school or anything. So it's just been an amazing journey.
Wow, what a journey of discovery that I'm hearing come out. Yeah, in your story, everything from abandonment to reunification to rejection, and then ultimately to understanding truly where your identity is and where it lies, and clinging to the very robe of Jesus. And really, like, I see it kind of in front of me right now, Sherry, with just, you're wrapping his robe of righteousness right around you. And, you know, that's kind of what's cradling you. And then through that process, you have been given the courage and desire to share your voice and your story with the rest of the world.
Yes, yes, I have. And to share the biblical aspect of it, because I don't really know how people get through that kind of pain without Jesus. I really don't. And so I love to share. I share my story in that context and give him the credit, because he's the one that was there for me and got me through it.
Awesome. That's beautiful. And he does, you know, Scripture does say that the Lord knits us together in our mother's wombs. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we weren't necessarily just made for our first families. We were made for a much bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we realize that, and when all of those different rejections, because I really appreciate, Sherry, you know, that you are vulnerable enough and honest enough and transparent to share with us that not every reunification is always, you know, flowers and candy. Sometimes they are very painful. You know, I remember years ago when I was searching, let's see, I've been reunified now for, golly, 25 years, just about. And when I think back to that, I remember all the columns in Dear Abby and Ann Landers. Do you remember that era of time? All the warnings, don't search, don't look. People don't want to find you. You know, all of that. People don't want to be reunified.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's too risky. And and those of us who decided to take that risk, we had to really count the cost, didn't we? And we had to look at those loyalties and the values within us and, you know, really come to terms with that, right? And be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready for perhaps
Absolutely.
What we could encounter on the other side. And so thank you for being honest and sharing that, you know, sometimes it comes with a tremendous amount of challenges, and that risk of rejection again is there.
It does. It does. And it's not written about much. You know, I've been begging researchers to write more about it. We've got an all adoptee boot camp online, and 150 members from around the world, really. And we go through materials, and I can give the address later if you want me to. But I would say the majority of the members have been rejected at reunion in one form or another. But, you know, it's not written about. It's not, you know, out there in the media, or it's not on television or whatever. But it should be, because adoptees need to know how to prepare for a reunion and, you know, how to grow through it. And it's just not out there. And also, Leanne, you know, like you said, 25 years ago for me, it was almost 25, but I came back from that reunion, and you see if you can relate to this, because I came back and I had like a black cloud over my head thinking it was my fault. I went to the library. I looked all over for information about adoption reunions. There was nothing. And so at least adoptees today have some literature that they can go to and know that it's pretty common. At least there's some. Not a lot, but there's some.
Right, there is, and it is progressing. You know, we're moving in the right direction. When it comes to, you know, we've had talks about opening up records, right? There's a lot more open adoptions now, where the many questions that haunt adoptees on medical history and that type of thing, some of those issues are being addressed, you know, even at the, you know, national level. I attended my first webinar with the state secretary. They spoke on adoption here a couple of weeks ago, and that was fascinating to me. Because people are starting to talk about it. There is getting more information. And I think those of us who have experienced and been touched by the heart of adoption in our lives have a real, I hate to use the word obligation. We have a privilege and an opportunity to actually share what's really going on, because you know what? I think a lot of the community out there really has no idea unless they have chosen to dive into the pool, right? They don't have idea about what all of us are going to, what we have experienced, no matter what part of the tapestry we're in. You know, I have tried to eliminate the word triad from my language, and it's hard because we're so used to hearing the word adoption triad. And somebody had pointed out to me really graciously that, you know, a triad is assuming that all parts are equal and that it's able to stand on its own. And really, that's not true. all of these parts don't have equal voice yet. And, you know, that's part of what I love to do within my coaching practice is, you know, putting together, I talk about the woof threads, right, and the warp threads in a tapestry
of
our lives. Thank you. And I have, you know, come up with this beautiful process that I take my clients through to help them understand that each one of those threads and each one of the woof threads and the warp threads that are within our tapestry have an incredible value, and none of them can be dismissed.
That is so cool, Leanne. Just recently I saw a graphic design from a ministry, and, I've used the braid, to illustrate, the birth parents, the adoptive parents, the adoptee, and then a gold, cord going around for God's sovereignty. Well, that's a pretty simplistic view of adoption and foster care. But this one that I saw had just multiple colors and thinner things all braided together. It was just beautiful. And that, when you said that, that reminds me of what you're teaching your clients, to all these beautiful threads, that are going together that, not by happenstance, right? But by divine design. And that's very cool.
Thank you so much. And I love that. And, that's been part of my healing, and it's been part of my ability, or it's been a tool that I have used that has helped me to see what the whole picture really looks like. And so when you were talking about those loyalties and that huge issue and counting the cost of the risk of searching, whether or not we have the ability to actually find and be reunified with our first families, sometimes that thread is not going to be possible. But that doesn't mean that your tapestry has a thread missing, because oftentimes it's when that shutter comes down on that loom and it all gets pushed together and compacted that we can see how beautiful everything has already become.
Ooh, that's cool.
Sometimes it takes that, extra step back and look and that evaluation, and like you were sharing that you have done on your journey and discovery. And so now since this time that you have met your first mom and kind of it wasn't all chocolate and roses for you, but yet you did discover some beautiful things. If you had to encapsulate the discovery from that reunion in maybe three words, that's kind of challenging for those of us who love to use words. But think about what would you love our listeners to know about a challenging reunion?
Three words, huh? Jesus, can I have four?
Yes, of course.
Jesus will not forget you. Jesus will not forget. That's five. Jesus will never forget you would be it. And that's my passion. To tell every adoptee, every orphan, Jesus will never forget you. And, when you were talking about adoptees that don't have any history, I love the way, if you don't mind, just going back to that a minute, you were talking about the loom coming down on it. You know, when you think about international adoptees or those of us over here you know, that are domestically adopted, but, you know, we find a tombstone at the end of our search, or we can't, like, I don't know who my birth father is. He may be a rapist, or he may be an adulterer. Those are the two possibilities. But anyway, we aren't left behind without any information. And what I think is so exciting is that we can tell our fellow adoptee friends to go on a treasure hunt, because mm-hmm. our birth parents have given us gifts. You know, like I say to teenage adoptees, you know, look at your hair, look at the color of your eyes, your skin color. What do you like to do? What are you gifted in? What are you, you know, terrifically gifted to do? Those are all gifts from your birth parents. And so it's not as though they've, you know, just left you with a blank slate. They've given you a lot, so you can go on a treasure hunt, and you can kind of, you know, put together what they probably are like.
Oh, I love that, you know, and I'm picturing this beautiful treasure box with all of these jewels in it, and that mm-hmm. if we have that courage and we're willing to take the risk to
yeah.
really take a look at our lives, stop and look in the mirror and see the gifts that we have been given and not what we have been left without,
yeah.
then all of a sudden
yeah.
that realization of the many, many treasures that are kind of coming out, we can see them, and we can see them very clearly.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful work that, as you share with the teenagers, and when they hear that coming from you, Sherry, what kind of response have you gotten back from them?
Well, the first time I shared it was at a, a culture camp for Chinese adoptees. And they were all girls about 15 years old, and they were really bummed, you know, because they didn't have any history at all. All they had was a certificate of abandonment. And, you know, here I was trying to convince them, you know, of who they were. And so I don't know if I made much progress at all. I think I've made more progress with the parents and helping them to teach their kids, you know, to not despair. You know, first of all, Jesus has not forgotten them, and they don't have a blank slate. You know, the gifting that they've gotten from their birth parents is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, it's important to help those with missing history or those with negative history to believe that they have the power of choice and, you know, they are their own person. Just because the parents have made bad choices, if mom and dad are in jail or on drugs or whatever, it doesn't mean they're going to be. They are responsible
right.
for their own life. So, yeah.
Living, yeah, Sherry, I love that. And living in that state of choice and helping the children and even adults to understand
yep.
that they do have choice, how they want to view their stories. Is incredibly powerful. And, you know, when we started our conversation today, we had chatted about, you know, whether to search or not to search. How do you decide, right?
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up just now about the importance of educating the parents on how
mm-hmm.
to help their kiddos navigate this journey.
Right.
And I just think that that is an incredible tool that perhaps has been missing somewhat. It is
uh-huh.
growing, I think, with the different ministries and different organizations out there that really have a desire to empower and equip families to do this thing successfully, to where these kids are not wallowing in that hurt and that pain and that loss. And, you know, like you said, you know, Jesus, he will never leave you. Nor, if we can remember this one too, he will not reject you, nor has he ever. And so no matter
That's right.
what is on the other side of your story, he is always there with open arms ready to receive. And
absolutely.
Right, really, really important to remember. And so, you know, I'm looking here. I think I need to give a little commercial announcement. So, Sherry,
okay.
I'm going to let you grab a drink of water. I love
All right.
what has gone on, our conversation here so far. And what I would love for you to kind of prepare to talk about a little bit is not just the biological parents, our first mom and dad that we might want to search for, but oftentimes we find out that we have siblings.
Okay.
And so maybe take just a moment, gather your thoughts on that, and maybe we can chat a little bit about the risks and the journey as far as those beautiful treasures that are in the box that we haven't even thought about. There we go. That could be out there waiting for us. So go ahead and take a break, and I'm going to give a little commercial announcement here for Life Coach Radio Network. We are a group, listeners, of over 40 coaches that have joined together to be of service to each one of you, to offer free life coaching, to offer free career coaching, spiritual coaching, lots of different opportunities here on Life Coach Radio Network. We have three different channels that you can tune into. We have the one that I am currently on as the Walk Your Talk coach, which is Life Coach Radio Network. We have International Life Coach Radio Network, and we have the Life Coach Chat channel, all on Blog Talk Radio. And so we do invite you to join us on each one of those three channels. We also want to share with you that all of our shows are archived on iTunes, so you can pull us up as podcasts and listen to us at your pleasure. We would love it if you continue to share the information and the love that you have received from Life Coach Radio Network with your friends and with your family. We have some upcoming shows in the future here. We have Handling the Holidays coming up here. Oh, my goodness, I can't even read my own writing. So we also have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen coming up, and Fun to Fortune with an Entrepreneurial Success coming up here on Life Coach Radio Network. And so I invite you to visit our website, Life Coach Radio Network, that's with an S.com. You can find out about all of our coaches on LifeCoachRadioNetworks.com, also on Facebook and Twitter to learn more about the coaches that so graciously give their time, their energy, and their talents and their treasures to serve you in this community. So, again, the number to call in if you would like to chat with either Sherry or myself is 646-716-9397. And so, Sherry, thank you for your patience while we just did our little commercial there. And I would love to hear your thoughts. Actually, let me rephrase that. I have found out in my discovery, in my journey through unification, that I did have biological siblings. And it's been a treat and a real desire to meet up with a biological sibling in my world. And how about you? What have you found down your discovery?
Well, I found out that I had, when I met my birth mother, I also met my half-sister, who is deceased now, but I have had no relationship really with her. But anyway, I grew up as an only child, Leanne, and I always begged my mom and dad to adopt another child from the children's home or the orphanage where my grandmother was a matron. And they always said, oh, we're too old. We don't think we should adopt another child. So I grew up as an only child, always, always wanting a brother or sister. So anyway, when I was reunited with my birth mother, a very precious birth cousin is a genealogist, and she gave me my whole family tree on that side. And I learned that I had a birth brother, actually a half-brother. Wow. And when I met my mother, I was aware of him, but I was told that he was had a very bad addiction to drugs, and I just did not feel comfortable contacting him at that time. I didn't want to get involved. But as you know, we adoptees have curiosities that kind of come in tidal waves, and then it ebbs a little bit, and then another tidal wave. Well, one day I was on Facebook, and I knew, already knew his name, it was John, J-O-N, letter, middle of the initial C, Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, and I could only find one, and he was from the right town. He was from Reno. So I wrote to him, and he, that was my brother's son, my nephew. And so anyway, I met John, and I have never been so happy in my whole life. I tell you, it's like, I don't know if you felt this way, Leanne, but it was like there was a place in my heart that I didn't know was there. And when I met John, it just, you know, he filled a place that I never knew was there. And so anyway, I found out he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver and heart problems. And so I got my little self on the plane as soon as I could, and I went out to Reno, and I met him and his wife, and but my husband came out a few days later, and we celebrated our birthdays together, and we took pictures at Penny's and all this stuff, and people would look at me and say, you look so happy. You look like you're just going to burst, and that's how I felt. Just felt like I was going to burst with joy. I was just so happy. People talked about how much we looked alike and, you know, typical reunion stuff. You know, we're telling everybody we could that our story, and everybody say, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. You know, we were on television and stuff like that. So anyway, I come back home, and I have done a lot of speaking, so I did almost a year of speaking with the plan that we were going to get together for our next birthday. And about 2 months before that happened, I got a call that he was on life support, and I said, well, I'll come out and on the next plane. And they said, no, Sherry, you don't get it. Even if you get on the next plane, he's not going to make it that long. And so one of the relatives who was so thoughtful said, Sherry, would you like to say goodbye to him? So they put the phone up to his ear, and I just told him how much I loved him and how I wanted to see him in heaven, and I really adored him. I mean, he called me sis. First time I saw him, he told me how beautiful I was. I mean, it was just so cool. Was it that way for you, Leanne?
Wow. You've rendered me speechless. I feel like I am, we're in sacred space here. Thank you for sharing that beautiful story. And, you know, one thing that's coming up for me, Sherry, is you said that your reunification with John, it filled a place in your heart or revealed a place in your heart that you didn't even know was there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when people, listeners, I get, you know, not to tell anybody what to do, but seek out the treasures. I just want to say whatever that is, whether it's looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing the gifts that you have been given biologically, or if you decide to, you know, delve into an actual physical search of somebody, because there are pieces, there are chapters in your heart that you don't even know you have. Until you dig deep into our identity and the people that have so touched our lives. And what a beautiful gift that you were given, Sherry. And what I'm hearing is, man, if you had not taken that risk to send an email, to reach out, that opportunity would have been gone for you. And what a privilege that the Lord allowed you to have that interaction.
Absolutely.
And what a gift, and, you know, what a beautiful treasure in your treasure box, what a beautiful jewel in the crown that you have to really experience fully that love and to see somebody sitting across from you calling you sis and calling you beautiful that, you know, shares your bloodline. Wow.
Right.
We
also did DNA together. We did the spit test with 23andMe.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, that was because that was his birthday gift to me, and Yeah, so I, you know, that was another piece of identity for me. We both have the same mother side, but again, I got back to the orphan piece because I don't know who the father is, my father is. But it was so neat to think that, yeah, it's even confirmed through DNA that we are brother and sister. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. That's so, oh, I love it. And, you know, you asked me what kind of experience that I had. You know, it was really special because when I was allowed the privilege of meeting my first mom, I got to meet my biological half-sister at the same time. And at that time, she was, you know, very young. And it was just such a delight, and it's been such a delight to be able to share the last 25 years together and to watch her grow up and bloom into a lovely young woman with two children of her own.
How cool is that?
It is really cool, and I'm so privileged, and I have been able to meet a lot of the biological family on my first mom's side. We had a little party for me several years ago where I could meet all of them. And we do have a relationship today, and I'm so incredibly full of gratitude. You know, I think how appropriate that we talked today about this subject, because it's kind of a cool day. My lovely first mom, it's actually her birthday today. That's so happy birthday if you are listening in. And, you know, it's kind of a real special time. And just to think it's a week prior to Thanksgiving as well.
And that's so cool, of
gratitude, right, that we can be in because of these treasures and these relationships that we have been privileged to have. Right,
Sherry,
as we, you know, think about this and, you know, with all of the chatter and all of the pains that can go around, if we choose to, we can see the beauty in it as well. And
yes.
It's deep. You know, the pool is deep. The reflecting pool, it's, you know, what we choose to see oftentimes and to understand that we do have choice on how we're going to view the situation and how we're going to live our lives in light of and in the middle of our own story.
So will you talk to your birth mother today or?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, as soon as I'm done with the show, I plan on giving her a call. I've already sent some other messages and different things, and I am very, very grateful. I have been very privileged to have a wonderful relationship with her. I love her dearly, and we have a mutual respect for each other.
And shared a lot of tender moments.
I also never had the opportunity to meet my biological father. He passed away prior to my reunion with my first mom. And so, but I was able to meet his cousin, which was kind of cool, and hear a little bit more about his life. So, you know, I've had kind of a unique situation in that pretty much my circle is joined at both ends. I had posted on my Facebook share, it was kind of funny, you know, that whole thing that was going around about list 10 things about yourself or whatever number somebody gives you about something somebody doesn't know about you. Well, I posted mine this week, and I actually have four moms. And people are like, you have four moms? I'm like, yeah, I certainly most definitely have four moms. I have my first mom, who's happy birthday, shout out to you today. I had my adoptive mom, and who has passed away now of cancer, and I have met my foster mom, where I was first living my first 3 years of life, or the first three months of life from the hospital. And so I have her in my life as well as my sweet mother-in-law, my husband's mom. So both are my four moms.
I didn't know you were a foster child.
I was. In the 60s when I was adopted, they had kind of bridge homes. I was adopted in the state of Minnesota, and I went to a foster bridge home for 3 months until the adoption was final. And I have met yeah, I was really privileged to be able to meet the gal that held me in her arms those first 3 months and took care of me until I went to my forever family. So it was kind of amazing being able to meet her and love her as well. She's an amazing woman as well.
That is
her
so
husband,
cool.
So.
Well, I know one other thing on your list, Leanne, that, and I thought, oh, we've got this in common too. You know what it was? You love Snickers. You love Snickers bars.
Excellent. Look at all these synchronicities with us.
I know.
Do you love your Snicker bars frozen?
Oh,
well?
My goodness. I love Snickers. It's my favorite bar.
Excellent. Well, I will look forward, Sherry, to when you and I can actually meet face-to-face and share a Snicker bar and a cup of coffee. And listeners, you have been so privileged to dive in here with us, and we're so glad that you are here. And Sherry, you know, we are getting close to the top of our hour. We've got about 10 minutes or so left, and I really want to honor your time. And before we have to scoot off our program together today, you have provided myself as well as our listeners a real sacred look into your life, into your heart, and why you do what you do. And I would love to provide you an opportunity for our listeners to, if they want to know more about you, what you do, the books you have written, that type of thing, how could they get in touch with you or the resources that you have out there
Sure.
for us?
Okay. Well, I mentioned the All Adoptee online group, and I'd like to tell folks about that. It is, this is the address. It's all-adoptees, plural, at yahoogroups.com. It's a biblically based on the life of Moses, 20-week study that has literally changed the lives of adoptees that have gone through it. For example, one 40-something adoptee went through it. She had never told anybody that she was adopted. 2 years ago, when Bill 469 for open birth records was came up here in Indianapolis, she went on the NBC affiliate and spoke up for Bill 469 for her fellow adoptees. A month ago, she went on Rebecca Valli's show from Denver and did an hour interview and shared her story. So it is life changing. It is free. It is there for any adoptee. I consider it an ICU for hurting adoptees. So if you're a clinician, if you know some adoptee that's hurting, check it out. Also, the same material that we use for that boot camp is on sale at Amazon.com for $10. And parents and counselors, if you have a child that is 9 years old or older and you want to have a date with them and work through it weekly, get a three-ring binder. In fact, Leanne, you're from New Mexico. I met a young man 9 years old and his mom who were working through it together. I said to her, does he get it all? And she said, not all of it, but he gets a lot of it. We just do what we can. So,
beautiful.
You know, be proactive. This is a way that you can be proactive with post-adoption work with your kids. Okay, that's the workbook. Then, you know, my books, the best-selling is 20 Things Adopted Kids Wish Their Adoptive Parents Knew. That is available at SherryElders.com. All the resources I have are available at SherryElders.com. Or if you look at Amazon.com, at my author page, it has everything. Forever Fingerprints is there, and that's a fun thing to do. It's a children's book, and it's a fun thing to do for Adoption Awareness Month. Maybe over Thanksgiving you could have a Forever Fingerprints activity after you eat your pumpkin pie and whipped cream or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I speak. I've taken a year off. I had a knee replacement, very successful one, but I took a year off, and now I'm open for speaking invitations. So contact me through my website. I blog at WordPress, so you can find that under Sherry Eldridge Blog. So that's
wonderful.
About it. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, and I just want to give just a real shout out for each one of these books. You know, I had a sweet fellow adoptee friend of mine, Sherry, that years ago sent me your book, 20 Life Transforming Choices Adoptees
Yes.
Need to Make.
Yeah.
And that book, you know, forever changed my life as far as really radiating in my heart and giving me some tools about how I really was showing up every day, right? And
validated.
Well, yeah, just really even being validated for the different thoughts that were floating around in my mind. And, you know, really, oh, my goodness, it seems like no one understands me, right? Chapter 6. And you mentioned the choice in there to be proactive instead of passive when others misunderstand or mistreat us. And I think that was one of those, you know, real pivotal chapters for me as well to understand and, you know, help me to regain my voice and understand that I didn't need to run from that anymore, that it was okay to run into my story instead of run away from my story.
Absolutely.
And I want to give a shout-out for all of your books. You know, I have four of them in front of me. The workbook that you had spoken about, is, I believe it's called Under His Wings.
That's right. Yeah, that would be a minor detail I forgot to tell the audience. It's Under His Wings.
That's okay.
I get so excited because I see the changed lives, you know. So.
Well, most definitely, and that's what we're all about here. And truthfully, listeners, that's what I'm all about on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And if you are listening out here and you have a story that you would like to share with me, I want to share with you my contact information about how you can get a hold of me. I am always doing interviews. They do not have to be live on the radio, but I do want to share that sacred space with you and be a listening ear for you to share your story. You can reach me at area code 505-412-1817. That is my business line. You can also reach me at the Walk Your Talk Coach at gmail.com is my email. You can also find me on the web at walkyourtalkwithleanne.com and currently right now at theadoptiesvoice.com. I am in the process of putting together an amazing website that is going to be highlighting my heirloom coaching process, a lot of the work that I do with adoptees and their families, as well as empowering women and men to live their best lives and to make an impact in the world that you have been privileged enough to be a part of. I also do public speaking. I'm in the process of putting my thoughts together for a book as well. I enjoy workshops, group coaching, individual coaching, all of it. I embrace all of it. This is why I get up every morning, is to meet you, each one of you, where you're at, hold that sacred space, and really help you to embrace your story. So again, I am the Walk Your Talk Coach, Leanne Parsons. Very, very privileged to be here with you. And Sherry, my gratitude, my heart, everything goes out to you for sharing this time with us today, sharing this time with me. I definitely look forward to sharing many more precious moments with you. Thank you for opening up your life and your heart to each one of us.
My privilege. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, listeners, I will be on again. Walk Your Talk with Leanne will be on air again with you the first Thursday of December. Please stay tuned for more information about that upcoming show. It's going to be a great month. Enjoy your families. Our hearts go out to those in the Philippines, to those in the Midwest who are racked with the ravishing storms. My hearts and my prayers are with each one of you. Celebrate your families. Hold close those that you love and be grateful each moment for the life that you have been given. Love you much.